Well, good evening. Good to see you tonight. Tonight we're going to do something a little different. We're not going to... Many of you were here on Sunday when we did our discovery studies. We were here, so we're not going to do a discovery study tonight. We're also not going to be talking specifically about the next step in that. But instead, I ask... I see you're inching your way over here. We ask our son Harry, who is here from Oklahoma, who's leaving after the first of the year to go to Thailand for a year. He's going to come and we're going to talk, and mostly he's going to talk. And so why don't you come along, Harry? And I'm sorry, we need to dismiss the children. I'm sorry, forgot about that little part. I don't normally do that. So. Yeah, bye-bye. The youth are back having a party, so hopefully they'll keep it down. And, do that. So, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay, let's give them a moment to depart. Can y'all see? Do I need to move back some? Can I hand the hand? Can you see now? Okay, I'll be back here, Harry, if you need me. That's funny. Well, we're going to talk. Well, first of all, we'll just let you go ahead and get started. Did you want to?
So my name is Harry. I live out in Oklahoma. I just graduated from ORU back in May. And so I got married last December, and so I've been living with my wife out there. And we've been trusting God, believing God for an opportunity to serve overseas and do missions work. And so we kind of had to be patient. You know, I'd been overseas before. She had been with different people. And she had been overseas, not been with different people. She's only been with me. We'd both been overseas and it's been in our heart to do. And so when we got married, we knew that this would come, and we were just waiting for an opportunity, and we didn't want to make anything happen on our own and get out ahead of God or do something. And so last August, we had a conference at our church out there, and they bring in some speakers and stuff, and people come in. It's a whole week of meetings and sessions and stuff. And during one of the sessions, there was a mission session, missions breakout session, and there was some missionaries there from Thailand. And so I was a little skeptical of them, but Becky had known their daughter because she had been to Bible school with them in Sweden. And I recognized their names, but for whatever reason, I just was in that session. I was like just not having it. But the guy said that if you want to go overseas, you want to be a missionary, we need to talk to you after the session. And so they called everyone up and they had a line and they prayed for people. And then after that, we went over and talked to them, and we ended up getting coffee with them later that week, and they were really excited about us, which sometimes when you talk to people about something you want to do, something that God's put in your heart, they don't take you seriously. And so I don't know if you've experienced that before. And so we talk to people and people kind of pat you on the head, and that's great. You know, lots of people have wanted to go overseas or be missionaries or whatever, but these people took us really seriously and they were really excited. And so they basically invited us to come and come see about their ministry and come see about Thailand. And so within a month, we were on the ground in Thailand, and we had had money saved up to do it. And we were ready. We, you know, bought tickets. We did everything. That's what we were waiting for. And so Becky had turned down a job at teaching. I had purposely not gotten a job. We were just waiting for this opportunity. And so when it came, we were ready. And we went in that month over there. It was just amazing. It was eye-opening, and they had some other teams there. So it wasn't complete. The first part of the trip wasn't completely focused on us. We kind of got to slide in the back and just see how they did things, and got to see all the different parts of their ministry, the day in, day outside, missions teams coming, get to see their work. But we just really felt like our hearts connected with them, that we connected with their vision, what they were doing. The name of their ministry is Empower International, and so that word, you hear it a lot around here. I grew up hearing that word. At ORU, I heard that word a lot, and now, you know, connecting with people with that same heart. And so basically, they felt good about us, we felt good about them, and they said, you know, if you guys want to come work with us, you know, commit to a year working with us, we would love that. We'd love to have you on our team. You know, there's work that's got to be done. We don't need money or vision or strategy. We need more people to help. And so, you know, we would do anything we can to help you guys get here and do this. And so we didn't pray about it. We didn't think about it. We just, this is what we've been praying about it and thinking about it our whole lives. You know, this is the moment. And we just said, yeah, we're going to do it. And we committed to it, and no red flags the whole way. We were just excited, and them being excited about us, you know, it wasn't just one way or anything. It doesn't work in a relationship. It doesn't work in ministry either. And so that was back in October, and so then we got back and just kind of processed it, and I was sick coming back, and I had a sinus infection, and so it's 12 hours time difference. So it's just when y'all are awake, you know, we were asleep and vice versa. And so it's just a whole different thing coming back, 30 plus hours of travel. And that it was that Hurricane Harvey was causing us problems or whatever. I don't know what hurricane was going on, but it was causing us problems. So it was a long trip back. But when we came back, we've just been so excited about this. This has been waiting for, and this is what we've been looking forward to. So we've just been getting things ready. We just moved out of our apartment in Tulsa last December 1st, and I came, bought tickets to come out here. I hadn't been able to come out here at Thanksgiving, wanted to spend time with family before I left, and I'll be back out. We'll both be back out in January, but my wife, Becky, she's with her family in Oklahoma. I don't think she's watching, but when you do watch this, I love you, Becky, and but we're excited. We're geared up for this, and we just posted on Facebook about this, but we're believing God for people to partner with us and support us, because what we'll be doing, we'll be working full-time with the ministry. We won't have any income over there, but we're believing for people here, for people that we know in Oklahoma, for other people that God has to send us as we do this. And so that, if that at all grips your heart, you can talk to me later about how to do that. Post it on Facebook and give through Empower International Link. But I'm not here to talk about giving tonight or convince you to give to a trip or anything like that. I just want to talk about kind of the steps and what's led to this. And the title for tonight is it Relational Living? Is that what it is? But I've learned a lot about relationships in life and how important they are, and specifically where God puts you and where he places you. And we don't a lot of times talk about in church about the sovereignty of God, but God specifically puts you in a place. Have you ever thought about why you were born where you were born, why you were born to the family you were born to? Why weren't you born in India, you know? Why were you born here, you know? Or why were you born to the family, you know? Why was I born in a pastor, you know, my parents being pastors? I don't know. But God, that is something that he chose. And I believe that God specifically for all of us has a specific plan for our lives that is good. Not something, you know, I know people feel like they get dealt bad hands and all this, but I believe that God has a good plan for every person's life. And I don't know, I can't understand all of it or figure it all out. But God places us in certain situations with certain people at certain times, at certain moments. And it is so important to realize where you are, what God has called you to do, why you're here. And not just you know, what so-and-so says on the TV, not just what you read in a book, but why you specifically are here on this earth, what God has called you to do, what he's put in your heart. And something that I see so much for myself is specific people that God has called me to reach. Not people that my parents are to reach, not people that, you know, I went to ORU, not people that ORU is supposed to reach, but people that Harry Judd is supposed to reach. And so in that, everything that we do in life comes and flows out of relationship with people, our relationship with God primarily, but then our relationship with others. And out of those relationships, there's all these moments we have with people. We have gospel moments with people. We get to share Jesus, you know, we get to lay hands on people. And sometimes some of the stuff we read in the Bible, we don't realize that it all happened in the context of relationship. that the disciples, they had a real living, vibrant relationship with Jesus. He wasn't just a random guy who walked up to them and said, "You, Peter, I want you to follow me." He had a relationship with Peter. And that is, to me, so much. Sometimes we ask of people and we expect of people to do stuff when they don't have a relationship with Jesus. We're asking them to be good and to come to church and to follow God and do all these things when they don't have a relationship with God, or and even they don't even have a strong relationship and an open, honest relationship with other Christians and other believers. And I want you to know that the way that people come into the faith is through you and I. It's through the church. It's not through some random cloud or some random star or whatever. It's through us, and it's through relationship. And so us living relationally and thinking about people in our lives that God has put and not taking them for granted, but seeing their value and seeing that I'm not here on this earth to make money or to have a job or to have it all go right or have success or all these things. I'm here to reach and impact people. I feel like it changes stuff, you know? It changes a lot of things. And that is why I am on a course right now to leave next month to go to Thailand, you know? I get to pack up a lot of gifts that people gave me a year ago at my wedding and put them in storage and go to Thailand. It doesn't make much sense, but I'm doing it because I believe that there's people that need what I have. And not that I'm the first missionary to ever step foot to Thailand, because there's a whole lot. But I believe that God has specific people for Becky and I to reach, and I'm just excited to see who that is, you know? And so I got some pictures, because I know people like pictures. And sometimes it's difficult to kind of visualize life, but I just want to show you all some pictures. Is this okay? Show and tell for a moment? I don't know if you need to bring down those lights, but that's a picture of Becky and I. It's kind of blurry, but just imagine what we look like. And This is at our apartment. We lived in 8131 number 8, South Lakewood in Tulsa, 81st and Sheridan. And so we really loved our apartment. We got to live for almost a year. And if we weren't moving to Thailand, or if we weren't moving and we were in Tulsa, we would still be there because we really loved it. And so I did not know when I was going to choose an apartment that how many people that God would have behind that decision. Because this last 6 months, 8 months, my missions field has been in this apartment complex. And so I'll show you some pictures of those people. But you don't realize that your neighbors and the people you interact with on a day-to-day, God, that is your mission field. That's the people that God's called you to reach. And I know sometimes we get upset with them, or we don't like how they look, or we don't like how they act, or we're not bold to share with them, or just they're just so-and-so and all of that, or you know, whatever thought could be hindering us. God has put us in a specific position to reach these specific people. And so I didn't realize that when I was choosing an apartment. I had to be a man and make a manly decision for my wife. You know, this is the first big decision, choosing an apartment. And I just thought I was choosing an apartment for us, and I was trying to get her something that had heating and cooling and air and a refrigerator and all those things. And but God had specific people on the other side of that, and I don't know what the next picture is. I think it's a Tulsa sunset. We have really pretty sunsets out there, but that's a better shot of Becky and I. It's at our apartment complex. And then next shot, there's another Tulsa sunset. I don't know why I put that in there, but there's sunsets in Oklahoma are beautiful, y'all. Really awesome. Next shot. If you're watching this online. Okay, so this is a really funny guy that I met. This is the gym in our apartment. And this is a guy, his name is Amir, and I didn't have any pictures of him, of his face, but he is, this is the first time I ever met him, right here, and Becky and I were working out in the gym, and it's kind of a small one, but this guy walked in, and he came in, and he's in there in the mirror doing all this, he's kind of pacing around, and he's kind of making noises. And so then he comes over to us, and he's got like this, and I show you magic trick. And he's doing like this. And so I'm a little confused, but he wanted us to try to pull my arm up and try to get the finger out. He wanted me to do that. And he was showing how strong you could do it, but he was showing how strong he was basically. And, turns out that he's a black belt in karate, did all this martial arts, and he's a masseuse, which is what's going on there. And he's from Iran, and he's living in Tulsa in our same apartment complex. He speaks broken English, And he's Muslim, probably culturally Muslim. But he's in our apartment complex. He's in Tulsa. He's got family that he knows. And his mom lives there and his sister in this really small apartment complex. And so we met him one day. And then we just kept running. I mean, this is a strange encounter. You know, it was really odd, but I just went with it. And so sometimes you just got to go with it. But I went with this encounter, and he had me. And at one point, he had Becky, and he was, like, popping her back and doing stuff. And a little odd, but the Lord looked out for us. But I would run into him all the time. We'd go and walk in our apartment complex and run into him. And, oh, Harry, so nice to see you, blah, 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 you know. Really sweet guy. But we got to know him. Went over one night at 10 o'clock at night. We're out walking, and they're super, you know, hospitality is their thing. So they invite us in. They bring out all this food for us to eat. And so we're in there 10 o'clock at night, and he's feeding us, and his mom's in there, and they're laughing and all this stuff. And he's wanting to learn English. And so, but we got to share the gospel with him that night. And so ever since then, he'd always ask, you know, well, pray for me. And he'd kind of joke, pray for me, please, and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to make this decision. Please pray for me. Well, during my graduation party, I know you remember this, but he's one of the reasons he was in the state was to rehab his hip from all of his karate and all the different things he'd done. Had, you know, been a lot on his body. And so at my graduation party, he showed up, and he was kind of the hit of the party because he was popping people's backs and doing different things. And but my dad was there, and he was talking to him, and we were telling him about Jesus, and you know, my dad's a pastor and all that, explaining all that. And so my dad ends up praying for his hip. It had been hurting him. We got to minister to his hip. And so he, every time that I see him, and I was even in Thailand, and he called me from Iran, and he's just always, please pray for me. And it's kind of a joke, but it's not, you know, if he's bringing it up. And so never had a moment, a glorious salvation moment or something, I wish. But I know this guy. He calls me. He has my number. I talk to him on Facebook. And he is from Iran, which, you know, is an unreached place, Muslim, you know, country. And yet he's in my gym. And so I just wonder how many people are in our lives that we just have no idea their stories, where God has them. And he was in the gym that day, yes, because he was working out, but he was in the gym that day because I was there. And I truly believe that God is leading people across our paths. And unbelievers, I believe God's leading unbelievers all the time. We talk so much about us being led by the Spirit. I believe God is putting people in the right position to be reached. Because it says he wants everyone to hear and everyone to know, so how could he not? And so by his love and by his grace, we got to meet this guy and got connected to him, get to share the gospel with him. But I have a relationship with him. And that means that when Amir's mom was struggling with stuff, he would tell me, please pray for my mom. I know about his life, there's a sharing. And I know all of us in here, you have people in your life that you're connected to. And it doesn't matter what country they're from, they're precious in the sight of God. You know, and I love international people. I don't know why. I just love it. But whoever God places in our life is so precious and valuable, regardless of how they look or where they're from. And so I just love getting to know him. And as you can tell, he's a character. He really is. He's just a character. But it's just so fun to get to know people and to take that opportunity to share God's love, his goodness with them. It doesn't have to be a preaching. It's just, this is our life, you know. Becky and I are sharing. We want to be missionaries. We want to do it. And I don't think he understands why we want to move over there when he's moving over here. You know, it kind of would, he didn't understand that. But I don't know what the next picture is, but I'm sorry, Sharon. She was getting up to do the camera. Now, this is a tomato plant, and I won't tell much about it, but someone dropped this off on the sidewalk, and we adopted it. And us and our neighbor, Daryl, who he just moved into Tulsa from Las Vegas. He's like, you know, 70 years old. But we got close to him, and we both took care of this plant together. And he ended up moving out. We got to see him go off and go on to his next thing. But he was one of our neighbors. Next shot. This is a little girl. Her name is Haya. And she and her mom and her dad, she's got a little brother too, but they are refugees from Syria, and they live right in the apartment across from us. And so we've gotten to have tea. Becky's really connected with the mom a lot more. Her name is Oman. And so Becky was just telling me today on the phone that this lady ended up sharing with her some, you know, intimate details of her life and got to encourage her and has a relationship with her. And these people are from Syria. They're amazing people, so beautiful, so nice. He's working at the airport out in Tulsa. But these are people we got to connect with and spend time with and have tea with. And this little girl, she's a fireball. But once again, God just has precious people like this all over. And I'm thinking, I'm in Tulsa and I want to go to the nations, but here I am. I'm step foot in Syria when I step foot in this home, you know? And so I probably, you know, right now, I don't know if I could go to Syria, but they're coming to us, you know? So it's just amazing. Next shot. This is all Pakistani food. My roommate, Farhan, from Pakistan, he took Becky to the grocery store. He taught her how to make biryani. And so Becky's made that. And all of those things, they look a little foreign to you, probably, because they are foreign. But she had to go to, you know, an Arabic store. And I'm sure in Augusta there is some international places you can go and visit. And so my hair, when I lived in Augusta, got cut by a Korean lady that Nan used to take me to, and then I kept going to. She's from Korea. In Tulsa, I go to a Burmese place where I'm the only white person I ever see in there. And so my friend Farhan, he'll take us and introduce us to some other people in town. We'll go to Mexican groceries. We went to a Mexican bakery, Miss Claire, and we had a good time. You just go and you get a tray and you can pick out a bunch. And so there's all sorts of people to meet. And it's amazing how open these people are. Because I don't think we always understand, but this is not their home. This is not their first place. They don't speak the same language. They like different food. It's not comfortable for them to be here always. And so for me, just to meet people and you realize they're isolated a lot of times, they don't have friends, especially if they're Muslim or something, they may not have a good community here, they may not have a mosque or a sort of community. And so these people, though, they're open to friendship and relationship. They may not be open to Jesus, but they're open to you being nice to them and being friends with them. And out of that, they realize you're a normal person and you're following God, and that seems to be going pretty well. And they begin to see you have a real living relationship with Jesus. It's totally different because they think the same things about you that you think about them. And I got to tell you what, we have a lot of naive thoughts about the world. I mean, what do you think of when you think of the Middle East? What's the first thing you think of? I know what just went across your mind. I'm not going to say it. But I know what we often think of if we don't have relationship with these people. And so I just encourage you to go somewhere that's uncomfortable. Go somewhere where you're the minority. And you may already feel like the minority. But if you don't, go somewhere where you are uncomfortable, where it's different from you, where you have to have someone explain to you, you know, what's the system here? I don't quite understand. Do you order here? Do you order? I don't get it. I can't read this stuff. Can you kind of explain to me? And in doing that, you humble yourself and open yourself up to people, and they are open to you. And most importantly, they become open to Christ. And so it says, Sharon, I want to read this scripture to you. This is in Matthew 5. It says, now that I've put you there, this is Jesus talking in the Message, so I'm sure it wasn't quite like this, but now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine, keep open house, be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And Becky tells me this scripture all the time because, you know, when she first got saved, she had the Message Bible. And so a lot of her scriptures, mine are NKJV, but hers are Message. But she says that when we open up to others, it'll prompt them to open up to God. Isn't that good? And so all these people have been meeting. I'm just learning to open myself up to them, to be honest, to, I don't understand that. Could you explain to me about your culture? Could you explain this to me? I don't get this. You know, why, you know, what is a mosque? What happens there? All, you know what I mean? Like stuff that may feel like taboo or may feel really uncomfortable to you, or stuff like I don't understand or get. As we open ourselves up to that, as we open up ourselves to people, it allows them to open up to God. Now, we've all had it. Just think of an uncomfortable situation in life where there's an elephant in the room or you're feeling a certain way and you don't want to say something. But when somebody else opens up and speaks first, what does it do? It prompts you to open up and share what's really going on in your life. And so honesty, openness, authenticity, those words, I know sometimes they're buzzwords or whatever, you know, corporations may say it and you may say it at a conference, whatever. But honestly, those are huge keys in the gospel coming to the earth. Humongous. Our personal relationship with people, being open and honest with them, and us saying that we don't understand everything about our faith, that's encouraging to people. That doesn't discourage them from becoming Christians. That actually encourages them. Because people want to be a part of a community that's real, vibrant, and authentic, open, and honest. No one wants to be a part of a community where everybody has it together and everybody, you know, wears the mask and we're all good. And, you know, we don't want that world. We want to be around people who are real. Isn't that what we all crave? And so just think about it. As you open up to people in your life, it prompts them to open up to God. You don't necessarily have to make a gospel pitch and start things and even start a spiritual conversation. As you open up and share your life, that's going to come out because it's a part of your life. And people are going to see that and get that. And then God gives you specific opportunities to share with people. I'm not talking about just go do nice things and one day people will see God. I'm just talking about as us being real people, the world will know. As we shine, the world will know who God is. And I personally believe that Jesus was a real man living in a real world with real problems. But he was able to overcome. He trusted his Father. He knew, had an intimate, real relationship. And guys, if he was fake, people would not have died for him, you know. I'm just being real. There's no reason for us to cover up, or I don't know why I'm hammering this, but there's no reason for us to cover up and try to mask it. Let's just be real with the world and let them know what's going on in our hearts and who we are. And as we do that, even in this home, as we do that, people will come to see God and know him. It's so crucial in having real relationships. So I feel like that's valuable. There's some other pictures on there, but I don't know if I want to show those. Do you want to transition? Do you have anything to ask? You sure? No, if you want to. We're trying to be open and honest right now. And but see, yeah, I feel like I've been learning so much about this because growing up for me, as you grow up in the faith, there's a lot of things that you know up here, but in your heart, you don't always know. And that's why sometimes you read a scripture and you say, yeah, I know that. But God reminds you of it because he's trying to say, you don't actually know this in your heart. You may understand it in your head. You may get it up here, but it needs to become alive in here. And so there's an openness and an honesty that we have with people that we need to have with God. And this is going a different direction, but I'll just stay here for a second. Openness and honesty that a lot of times the reason that we're not open and honest with people is because we're not open and honest with ourselves or honest before God. And I think sometimes that may be where it starts, is getting alone with God and saying, God, I know these things and I know all this about my life and I know all of this. I have it highlighted. I get it. I've heard the messages, but I want to have a real living relationship with you. And Dan Moeller is going to talk about that this week. I promise you, he's going to say something like that because that's where I heard that so strong in me. But when we open up and have this relationship with God, then in our relationship with other people, it's just so free and natural. When I was at Sheridan Pond, I've got to know all the maintenance workers' names. I know the managers there. I know the girls who sell things. I know all the people in there with dogs who come out and walk around. I know my neighbor, his name is Bob, and he's 80 years old, and he can do 80 burpees. That's what he did on his birthday. And he's lived in Alaska, and he's lived in Yemen. I know all this stuff about Bob. I would go and sit and talk to him. He's a geologist, a petroleum engineer. You know, I don't know, something along those lines. I didn't understand that. But it's just amazing just being out there and being open, how many people you can meet, how many stories you can learn, how many people you can touch, how many people's lives you can affect. And sometimes you see these people and you're like, how are they doing what they're doing? They know people all over. And not that it's about knowing people, but they're leaving they're leaving God everywhere they go. They're depositing things and people are being changed in touch. How do they do that? It's this right here. They have a real relationship with God, and then everywhere they go, they open their lives up and they let people into it. And as they do that, people get to know God. And I think about Paul. If you read Romans 16, you should read it and count how many personal names he knows. Because he could name person after person after person. It was people he was writing to. It wasn't to us. It was real people back then. And so sometimes that people element just, it just gets out of the way, you know? It just, we lose sight of that in it all. But the reason that we're here tonight, the reason we're gathering is so that we can go out there and love people. Obviously, we're gathering to encourage each other and the people in this room, but we're also gathering for those people out there who need help, the people that we see every day, the people in your neighborhood. And, you know, I'm moving to Thailand, but the reason I'm moving is because of this. And whatever God calls you to do, I just want to let you know, wherever he has you, whatever you're doing, it's important. Because sometimes I feel like we make this up here the important thing. What I'm doing right now, this is not important. What you're doing in your life every day is important and valuable in the kingdom. It means so much. Even if it doesn't feel like it, even if you're not getting credit, even if you don't get to share at church, even if you don't post about it on Facebook, it's important. And so as you realize that and take advantage of it in these lives, they're valuable and these people matter, it changes your perspective. Because there were days at Sheridan Pond when my heat was not working. This happened early in November. My heat went out, and it was like 7 a.m., 8 a.m. I didn't wake up that early. 9 a.m., whatever time I woke up, I go in there. It's 55 degrees in our apartment, you know, and I can handle that, you know, but Becky can't. And so, no, but so I would tough it out, but she's like, you're going to go talk to them. I'm like, yeah, you're right, I am. So I went and got the maintenance guys and brought them in, and they're in the apartment and talking to this guy. And he does the same homeschool curriculum, Becca, that I did growing up. He did not look like a guy who did a Becca at all. So we connected over that and we got talking, and then Becca's a Christian program, says, yeah, I know about church, I know those things. And, you know, he told me about this pastor that he really respected and loved. And you look at this guy, you're not thinking Christian at all. Like, just honest, you know, my natural critical eye is not thinking Christian. And but he just starts to share all this stuff, and I don't think this guy would ever set foot in a church. But he kind of understands it, kind of knows it. He's open to it. But I don't know if I could ever really convince him to come to church. But he's in my apartment there with me. And that's all we need, honestly. That's what we need. And so what was funny is they got it fixed that day. That night there was some thing going to dinner. And so I was there joking with him about, you know, I just messed up the heat and I just wanted to spend some quality time with you. And, you know, tomorrow morning, do you want to do tomorrow morning at 10? Come by, you know, I'll have it off and you can come fix it so we can spend some more time together. So we're joking about it. Well, how about the next morning I wake up, the heat's not working again. So then I go and find him and he thinks I'm joking. I'm like, man, you know, like I wouldn't lie to you. I promise you. So he comes by. So we're there again. He's in my apartment. Now we got two other guys. Now I got three guys in my home, you know, just my little 500 square foot apartment, you know, just these guys in there. And so I'm able there to have a relationship with these guys, to talk to them. They know that I'm a Christian. They know what I think. They know I'm moving to Thailand. They're asking about it. They're curious about it. They want to know. And so I'm just, I think people are open to it, guys. I'm genuinely convinced of that. I don't think people are turned off by it. They may be turned off by the church or by religion or by certain things, but they're not turned off by you and by God and by real relationship. Deep down, we all want that. And so it's just amazing to think of, I move into this apartment, I can tell you a whole list of names of people that, not that I did something and I hadn't, but just running, you know, doing my normal everyday thing, running across them, having a small conversation here, finding this tomato plant. We connect with this guy, you know, just doing these little things, seeing this little girl and asking, what's her name? Where are you guys from? We just met a family from India, and this girl's from Bangalore, and I've been to Bangalore. So connect over that. It's just amazing what God can do in a short amount of time. And I'm excited to do even more of that this next year, and just to to put my focus on that, on these relationships. And I pray that wherever we're at, I know we have jobs, I know we have families, I know we got things to do, but in whatever you're doing, to give value to those relationships that God has and He's put in your life, because it's not by accident. I'm just learning that these things are not by accident. And we're going to Thailand. We met these people at a conference in a moment. Becky went to Sweden with their daughter. They happened to know Nan and my parents and all this stuff. It's not by accident that I ran into them. It's not by accident I'm going to Thailand. It may feel like in the moment, what's happening? What's God doing? But I'm just letting you know that He has a plan, a specific plan for all of our lives with specific people attached. And that's how I pray about it. God, I know You have a specific plan for me. God, I know there's specific people to reach. Show me those. I can't reach everybody. That's how sometimes I want to think, I want to do, I want to go reach and go do this and get everyone saved. But He's got specific people for me. And so it makes me, there's a word that's kind of foreign to us, but it makes me feel content in life when I embrace that. I embrace my job. I embrace what God's called me to do. I embrace my purpose. I embrace where He has me. I embrace these things because it's in all of that that the Great Commission happens. It's in all of that that people are reached. It's in all of that that the nations are won. And so I'm learning this. I'm seeing it. And it's coming alive to me as I'm talking. I hope it's coming alive. You know, you're getting excited about it. But just, I see this back here. There's open doors. And I know this was a prophecy, but that God was speaking, there's open doors for this church. What does that mean? Does that mean open doors for my parents or Nate and Kristen or open doors just as a whole? I think it means open doors for you specifically in your world, wherever you are. God's got open doors for you. And maybe just going back there and just claiming one of those, God, I want this door. I don't fully know what it means, but I'm just going to claim it as my own. I've personally just claimed the international thing. I've just claimed it. It happened in my life, and I'm just going to take it. If I see an international, I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to ask them where they're from. I'm going to be as, you know, socially. I'm not going to follow social etiquette at all. I'm going to be awkward and embarrassing, and I'm going to meet them there, and I'm going to have a conversation with them because I feel like that's a door for me. It's just been working, and I enjoy it, and I hope they enjoy it. But I just feel like there's doors for all of us here. And there's already doors, and I know we've been walking through them, but just to, don't be discouraged by where you're at. Don't be discouraged by where God has you. Don't be discouraged by the people around you. Realize that you're salt, you're light in the earth, you're there for a purpose, and you're there for a reason. And if they're not getting with it, and if they don't know God, that's why you're there. And sometimes we wait for people to do something, but you're the leader in the situation. You're the person there that brings the influence, that brings the light, bring the love. Don't wait on them. You be the one that opens yourself up. Amen. That's good. That's really good. There's open doors for us here. There's people that are open. And doors, that's what I was praying for before I ever knew about Thailand. And to be honest, guys, I don't really like Thailand. I've been places that I like better. I don't know why it's where I'm moving. I don't like Thai food. I know some of y'all love it. But I've never had Thai food until we met those people, in the last 4 months. Seriously, I don't think I ever grew up eating it. And I go over there and people ask me about the food. I'm like, it's good. I'll manage, but that's not why I'm going. And it's just weird what God calls you to do sometimes. It doesn't make sense up here. You know, there's other places I think that I know a little bit better, but that's where God has me. And I'm going to be 100% there while I'm there, like giving it all, whatever, you know. God uses for whatever it may be. And who cares if people notice? Who cares if anybody knows? That's why I'm here on this earth. And so He's got open doors for us. And just pray that. God, You're opening a door for me. I don't know what it looks like, but I know that when it opens, I'll be ready for it, and I'll see it, and I'll know it, and I'll walk right through it. I'll have the confidence and the boldness to walk through it. Because sometimes that's what holds you back, is you see it, you know it, whatever, but you don't want to take those steps, or you're thinking about money, or you're thinking about how's it going to work, or all that. Sometimes you just got to get going, you know. People say it, God can't move a parked car. You just kind of got to, even if it's reverse, even if it's neutral, just get it in gear or something. Just move the stick around a little bit and let Him give them something to work with. And I am fully convinced of that everyone in this room can have a huge, thriving ministry. Now, all of us can't have mega churches. That's not the point. But all of us in this room can have a humongous, thriving ministry. And when we get to the other side, I'm sure we can go down the line. Hey, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Of all these people that we had a part in, seeds we planted, you know, watering. It's going to be amazing to see, guys. It's going to be really, really awesome. I'm excited about that. That's something that's worth getting up in the morning. That's something worth saving our money for. That's something worth giving our time to. That's worth something worth doing something uncomfortable. And so just wherever you're at, I don't know where this may be hitting you or where it's striking a chord, but I just encourage you, where God has you is good, and there's people there for you to reach. So many people. And here at church, we do a good job of explaining how to do that, but you actually have to do it, you know? It's you and your world doing it, and there's a lot of ways to go about it, but at the end of the day, just committing yourself, God, this is my ministry, these are my people, I'm here for you, what do you want me to do? Something that I kind of have struggled with, I'll be open and honest with you, is that okay? Is that okay? Something that I kind of get anxious about sometimes is how does it all work? And God, what am I doing? Does this really matter? I don't know. Does anybody ever feel that? Maybe that's just me. But because sometimes it just feels like the need is too great. And if you ever go to Walmart, you can feel the need. I don't know if you guys, you can feel the discouragement. You see sick people. You just see all sorts of stuff. There's a Walmart in Tulsa across the street from ORU that's notorious. It's really kind of a rough place to go to. But I remember walking in there and just being overwhelmed by the need. And what can I do? You know, my life doesn't matter in comparison to all this. And kind of just get anxiety about that. God, what am I supposed to do? I know in here I'm supposed to reach people. I know the Great Commission. But God, what does that mean to my life? In my heart, what does that genuinely mean? Who do you have for me? And one day he was just showing me that if he's the Lord of the harvest, just like a farmer, he knows which field to plant in. He knows where to put the seed. He knows where to water. And that every day, like if I was working on a farm, which I don't think I'd be very helpful, but if I was doing that, if that's where I was sovereignly born and my parents were farmers, I could wake up in the morning and the farmer could tell me, you know, we're working in this field today. I need you to go plant this over there. I need you to work on this today. I go out and do that. Wake up the next day. He may tell me to go back over there, but he may say, I need you over here today. There's some things that need watering and this is where I got you. And, you know, I know what I'm doing and I'm working something. So just trust me, go do this. And the higher hand, me, the higher hand may not understand it, what he's doing, and may not always get it. I may, you know, thinking, well, you know, why am I not over there? Everybody else is over there. Why am I not there? You know, that's where you're sending everybody else. Why do you have me here? You know, we were just here yesterday. We've been here 10 years. We've been here 25 years. You know, why am I still in this field working? Why am I not in another field? But God is just showing me that he is the Lord of the harvest. And he has you in a specific place. And there's specific seeds that you need to plant, things that you need to water. And every day, just waking up, God, where do you need me today? Which corner of the field? Where do you got me? And it may be the same thing for year after year, but maybe he'll ask you to go somewhere else. Maybe he's got another field. And as I was praying one day, that's what I got. A new field is opening up to me and Becky. I don't know where it is. I don't know who, but that's the sense I got. I got a new field. And then come to find out it's Thailand. That's the field I'm going to be working in right now, planting and watering. And so I just encourage you, you know, if you deal with that anxiety like I do, well, God, what am I supposed to be doing? I don't really know. Just ask him, you know, do you need me to water anything today? Do you need me to plant any seeds? Ultimately, he's going to do the bring the increase and make him grow. But what do you got? What do I need to do today, God? You know, and he'll lead you in that. And it's so clear to me when something happens or when a person comes in or you have a moment, it's so clear. You know it. You can't deny it. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to overthink it. It's like, this is God. I know it. You know, it's just so natural. It just flows so easy. I just encourage you that God has specific seeds to plant, specific seeds of water. We should just call this message specific. But he's got specific things for you to do. And just pray that way, believe that way, think that way, you know, think, you know, God's got me on this plan and he's guiding me my steps and I'm just going to trust him today, you know. And it's so amazing and so carefree. We can just sit back. There's no really work or toil that we have to do to figure that out. He's got it set up. I just got to wake up and say, yes, honestly, I just got to, you know, just go along with the plan, which that's difficult sometimes, but Most of the times we can do that. You know, we're going along with other plans, you know, most days. So just go along with his plan for that day. What field does he have for me today? What do you want me to water? What do you want me to do? And I believe that God wants to use all of us for that every day of our lives. And not waiting for some day. Man, I've done that. Waiting for some day. I'm not going to minister to this person in front of me because I'm waiting for some day in the future. Right now, here today, in this moment. My dad, what was that thing you showed me on that coaster today? Do you remember that? I can't. Some quote. But now the present is the most important time.
It's not the future of the past.
It's not the future of the past. It's now. The person in front of you. It's not the testimony from 5 years ago or the future testimony. It's this person in front of you right here, right now. And some people just have a simplicity of just this person I meet. I guess God's working here and he was working before I came and he'll be working after I go. And I'm just going to give him what I got right now. Because I can tell you what, God worked in Sheridan Pond before I was there. And I felt good about leaving because I know he's working when I'm gone. Thailand, he's been working for hundreds and thousands of years, maybe. It's Jesus. I don't know how long he's been working, but he's been wanting to reach these people long before I was born, and long after I'm gone, he'll be wanting to reach those people. So the pressure burden's not on me. Mine's just to get up and say yes and go water and go plant. I think it's simple. And so sometimes we can overcomplicate it, and sometimes we can overthink this, but it's simple. God, what are you saying today? Who do you want me to open up my life to today? What do you want me to be generous with? Who are these people that you have? Just lead me to them. Show me them. Make it clear. I'll know it when I see it, you know? So, yeah, that's good. Do you have any questions? Go ahead. So we kind of had talked, you know, and about questions and stuff, but, yeah. So wherever you're at, if you can think of people in your life that God's put and people that come up from time to time, and I just encourage you to reach out to those people, just to call somebody, just to say something. Just to make it a priority, not wait till we have something special at church or not wait till you get all inspired, but just do it. Make it a habit in your life. Make it a habit to have people into your home, you know. We can go to restaurants and eat, but it shows people your life, and maybe you don't want to show people your life, but they get to know you when they come into your home. It's powerful, and it's been so cool to have an apartment. This is the first time. Well, I had a dorm room for a bit, and people always used to be in there, and it used to drive me crazy, because I like sleep and alone time and all that stuff. I'm like, you know, I can only handle so many more college students in my room, but when having this apartment, it's been so great, because we'll have people over, you know, college students, you know, they're struggling for food and money and all that stuff, and we're struggling for food and money too, but we're just a little bit ahead of them, enough to help out. And so, you know, I love it. My friends, I tell them, you guys, if you need food this week, come over and eat with us. Becky's making food, and, you know, it'll be good, and you just come over and eat. Becky's making cookies. And they would come over and people just sit on the couch and we'll have tea and coffee and we'll just talk. We don't have it. We didn't have a TV. But if we had that, we'd be watching it with them for sure. No, but we just sit there and we talk and share and invite people into your home. Or if that's uncomfortable, take them out to eat, or, you know, go see somebody at, you know, a kid's rehearsal or play, or go do something fun with somebody, or just be intentional about loving people and being relational in your life. You know, it doesn't have to be a specific thing. It doesn't have to be every week at 7 we do this, this, and this. It can just be random. You know, it can just be spur of the moment. And as you do that, these relationships lead to so much more. There's just a wealth of opportunity in this world. I mean, there's how many billion people, guys? 7, 8 billion? There's no way you can meet all of them. But I can tell you, if you can meet 5 or 6 of them, there's a wealth and there's riches and goodness inside of them. And just getting to know who God has made and who he's created, it's the funnest thing. I get excited about it. You guys can tell. I got stories about people. I love it. I get that from my mom, my dad, and my family. They love people. They love you guys. And they love learning and knowing about people. And I've seen that. And I do that, learning to get to know people. And in the middle of that, introducing them to God and showing them, if there's anything that I've experienced or that I know that can help you, I want to do that. If you can learn anything about God from me, that would be amazing. If not, if you know more, if all that, that's great. But if there's anything I can give, I'll give it. I'm willing. Yesterday, I had the privilege and the opportunity to go with our very own Nate Barber to the doctor's office, and he had a little incident over here. He was working on these floors, and he had a box cutter. Is it okay if I tell this? I've already started. He had a box cutter, and he sliced right into his finger, and he had to get 5 stitches yesterday. Hold it up. There it is. And so we were going to go get some coffee or stuff, and this was right before that. So we ended up, I had to drive over to the doctor, and we spent all this time together yesterday, and it was emotional. You know, it was good, but... But I just loved that. It was fun yesterday, wasn't it? It was really good. His hand was throbbing. But just like, because I know Pastor Nate. I've seen him and, you know, I've known him all these years. And, you know, I know him on stage. I know him in his office. I know him here. You know, I know all these things. I want to cry. But I got to see him with his finger cut yesterday, you know. And so, you know, living life, people talk about doing life with people, all that. So I don't know about all that, but there's just so much joy in life in these relationships that we have. And whether it's people in this room, which I would tell you, you know, you can come to this church for a long time and you can take for granted the people that you have around you. I know that I have. I left here and I realized not everybody's like these people, you know. But you can take for granted people in these rooms. You can take for granted your family. You can take for granted the people in your community. You can take for granted your boss, the people you work with. And it's just so easy to forget why we're here. And I'm telling you why we're here. We're here for them. We're here for those people. And so I just encourage you, wherever God has for you, do not be discouraged. Do not see your life small. Do not see your ministry small. Do not see the things He's called for you small. They're big in His eyes. They're big. They're valuable and precious. They're valuable and precious. And when you say, God, I lay down my life for other people. I lay down my life for your will and what you have. That's the greatest act of love you can do. That's the greatest thing you can do, is to lay down your life for other people. And that doesn't mean dying physically. It doesn't even mean moving to another country. It doesn't mean selling everything you have. It means giving up your time. It means giving your money. It means putting people first, whatever that may look like. And if that's not one of your core values, if that's not something at the beginning of your day, at the end of the day, if that's not in our day, then we need to reevaluate, because that's the gospel, people. It's a huge part. I'm getting heavy. That's a huge part. And so I just ask you to consider that. And I know that you guys all in here, you know this stuff and you have it in there. And just remind you that the joy of this, the life in it, there's some good stuff in it. You know, you can miss out on this if you get caught up in the world, if you get caught up in other things. You can miss out on the joy of seeing people come to know God and of your life making a difference and making an impact on this earth. And I know that's what you want. That's what I want. That's what I really want. And so I've got some more pictures up there. Is that what I want to do? Yeah, I got some more pictures I'll show you. Is it 8:15 that we in? Okay. So this is my friend Harry. First Harry I've ever met. And he was in our apartment complex. And I met him. And then he was out walking his dog one day. I ran into him. And he's a talker. And he would tell you that. So I'm not making fun of him. But I think we talked for a few hours that first day we met, and then we've been really good friends ever since. He's the fourth. He's Harry Sneed the fourth. So when he goes to family gatherings, there's 3 Harrys around, you know? So I've always been the only Harry. So everywhere we go, you know, we went and ordered at Raising Cane's, and I say my name, and what's your name? Or they ask, what's your name? I say Harry. And then he ordered the same thing. What's your name, Harry? So it's kind of fun. We go get to do that places. But he took me to several OSU games, and I personally like professional sports better, because that's how I grew up. That's the household I grew up in. But I really got into OSU football just because of Harry. Isn't that amazing what you'll do for the people you know? And so he took me to this one game. He's got seats. I think he's been to every home game for the last 12 years. This guy is loyal, dedicated, you know, just all in. And so he's got front row seats. And so I had a really good time at that game. And then he took me to the OSU-OU Bedlam game. And so it was at OU, and I'm wearing all orange, and the rest of the stadium is like maroon or red. And he told me, these fans are the worst fans in the world. He says, I've been here, I don't know how many times, I've been spit on, I've been punched, I've been all that stuff. He's telling me that before I'm going into it. I'm like, I'm from Georgia, South Carolina, you know, these are not my teams. If anybody tries to come at me, I'm giving up. I'm not OSU, you know. I'll be for OU, and OU won that game, but I was just seeing, it's amazing. What will we do for the people in our life? You know, we'll be fans of what they're fans of. I don't even know about OSU, but I can tell you what, if they're on TV, I'm going to be thinking of Harry, you know? And so, because, I mean, he's diehard about it. But this is, he just got married. He's 30-something years old, and he just got married. And that was the reason we kind of came home from Thailand. We landed, and then we drove from Kansas City, all this stuff, just to make it to their wedding. That's why we came home, was for his wedding. And he's been waiting years and years for a wife. And he finally met this girl. And they've both been waiting their whole lives for the person they met. And so, I don't know, we've had an amazing friendship with them. And I'm sad. They're one of the reasons I'm sad I'm leaving Tulsa, just because I love them, you know. I've only known them since May, but I genuinely consider that I love this guy. So he's a Christian, everything, you know, nothing there. But we encourage each other about that stuff. But he's just an awesome friend. I don't know what the next picture is. This is their wedding. Isn't that nice? Out there. And then not the best picture, but just imagine. And then what's the next one? This is a girl named Tanika, who Becky's met, who taught with Becky. She is a missionary kid. She's from Niger. Her parents moved to Niger when she was a little kid. And so she speaks Hausa. And she grew up, and she's living in Tulsa right now. She just married a guy from Nigeria, and so we've become close friends with them. And all of her friends are African, which is really cool. So I've never been to Africa, but they make us African food and Nigerian food more specifically. And so I've really enjoyed getting to know Tanika. Becky's a lot closer to her, but, you know, I love, his name is Stephen, and he's just an awesome guy. God has all these awesome people out there. Who's next? This is a team in Thailand. That's where we'll be working. That's Empower International. Those guys are all from outside of Chicago. And on the far right, you can guys see a guy in a pink shirt. That's Todd, who we'll be working with, and his wife is like two away from him. What's the next shot? There Todd is. He's kind of posed up. But those are two of those are Thai staff. The rest are teens that are going to be in Thailand, and we were teaching them English, spending time. I think they're going to be some of those specific people I'm going to spend time with, so I'm excited about that. And there's Julie on the right, and that's me, as you can see, with the backpack. But what's the next shot? We're in a tuk-tuk with the two of them. That's fun. I was in Bangkok. So they dress really well. I've never seen missionaries who dress well. You'd always think, you know, you gotta, you know, be poor and all of that. But they look better than we do in Thailand. I don't know how, but I was surprised. And Becky's like, well, you know, they're kind of upping the standard for us. We gotta kind of, you know, up our standard. You know, take better care of ourselves. So, what's the next one? This is right in the office we'll be working with. That's the view right outside the window. Doesn't that look beautiful? Isn't that nice? That's a rice field. And so you can't beat that, guys. You can't beat it. Next shot. That's the school that they're going to be starting, a missionary school, next September. We will be attending this school, and we'll be helping with the launch of that. We're already helping in recruiting and different stuff. So as you can see, they just purchased this land, got an amazing deal on the buildings, and they have to renovate it all. But it's going to have dormitories, classrooms, offices, everything. It's going to be really amazing. So we're excited about that. They're hoping to have 10 missionaries commit to this first year. And they've done this mission school in Tulsa, and they did it with Jerry Savelle Ministries in Fort Worth. So they've spent 20 years doing this thing, and they're just starting it now in Thailand. On the field training, you can't beat that. And basically, when people finish this school, go through it, they have to commit to serve somewhere overseas for a year. So it's intense. It's kind of the last step before going. So Becky and I will have the opportunity to go through that, and we're excited, and we feel like it could be a part of our future. I don't really, but that's one thing that we're really excited about, is about that school. Any other good pictures? This is a guy named Ko that he doesn't speak good English. I don't speak any Thai. All I know is Sawadikap. That means hello. And I know a couple of other words, but Sawadikap. And so hopefully I'll learn some Thai. But the reason I want to learn Thai is to be able to talk to him. I'm not learning Thai to notch that out of my belt. Like, he can't understand me when I speak. And so he knows how to play guitar. And so it was cool because I'm playing a song, and I handed him, he plays a song, and he knows some English worship songs and stuff, so we had a good time just playing with him. I think he's 16 or 17 years old. Next shot. That's me. That guy's name's Pastor Tirzon. He doesn't speak English either, but he speaks Korean and Thai, but he has about a children's home with about 30 or 40 children that he and his wife take care of. They're just amazing people, and they're up in the mountains, and you see all that vegetation. It's just a really cool spot. So I got to spend some time with him. Really funny. I knew he was funny. You can tell when people are funny because it doesn't matter what language they speak. You know, you can tell. And so he would try to joke in English, but it didn't work. But I knew he was funny. So that's somebody that we'll be working with. Next shot. That's Chiang Mai. It's really pretty. It's up in the mountains, and so it's a real city, you know. It's got buses, it's got Uber, it's got, you know, it's a real place. It's got really good food, night markets, all this stuff. I mean, it's real full-boom place. It's pretty comfortable. Like, it's not going to be as difficult on my flesh to live there, so I'm excited about that. You can get AC, I can get Wi-Fi, I can get those things. It's still different, but that's kind of an overshot of it. Next shot, that's Becky and I at one of the night markets. And so it's really cool. There's lots of tourists, and they would come in at Sunday nights. Every Sunday night, they close down all the streets, and they have all these vendors selling all sorts of stuff. And so people speak in every language you can imagine there, just all these tourists in the city. So it was really cool. Next shot. That's me trapped by a bunch of kids in Burma. And we were playing four corners, and I got in the wrong corner at the wrong time. So next shot. if there is any more shots. Is that it? Okay. I just want to tell one last story. Kind of bring it home. I know this is all over the place, but I hope you got something out of it. I hope something inspired you. And just kind of see, you know, this puts a couple pictures and faces to what we'll be doing. We'll post more on Facebook and blog and Instagram and send stuff out. So if you want to know more this next year, that's the best way. But while we were coming home, it was the last leg of our trip, and I told you that the hurricane had affected our travel. We were up in New Jersey, and there was all this rain and storm, and the plane was coming from Atlanta, so the storms down here were affecting the plane that we were supposed to get on to go. We were going to fly to Kansas City. I don't know if that makes sense, but we're waiting on this plane, and so it's delayed, and we find out it's delayed 2 hours and 4 hours. And at this point, guys, I've been up 24 hours, close to 30 hours at this point, and so Becky and I saw this family, and they had two little sons, and they were, you know, they were running around making this noise and stuff, and this mom is like, you know, she's saying stuff to them, almost yelling at them, but I can tell she's stressed. I'm just thinking, you know, they're traveling, they've had a long day, all this stuff, you know, and so, you know, I kind of feel embarrassed for them. You guys ever had that? You feel embarrassed for other people, because it's like, man, I hope, you know, if I had kids, you know, it'd be better, but I guess I'll find out. All of y'all that have kids know that, yeah, how naive I am. But I could just tell they're struggling. And so at one point, the mom's kind of like off teary-eyed, and the husband, they're just kind of frustrated, all this stuff. So we end up getting on the plane, and we, of course, have the privilege of sitting at the very back of the plane. We had one seat on the very back row, you know, and you're leaned up against the bathroom type of deal. The other seat was in the row in front of us. And so that mom, she was in the row in front. And so it was two open seats. So I was like, you know, Becky, you take that seat. I'll go sit by this guy on the back row, you know. And so Becky talks to this lady. She's there. We're still sitting on the ground. And she asks the lady, you know, how was your day? And the lady says, terrible. And so, you know, that's not the answer you're looking for. You're wanting something like good or, you know, it was great. You know, something you can kind of just move on with. And the lady said, terrible. And Becky, you know, Becky will jump into those sorts of conversations. I would kind of back off, but she'll jump right in. She, you know, why is it, you know, just travel or all this stuff? She said, my sister died last night. And then she starts wailing. And so, and I mean, guys, like, it was the most, like, uncomfortable grieving I've ever been around or anything. It was in public. It was sobbing. It was almost like yelling. And so Becky's there with this girl. And I'm honestly, I'm chatting it up with the guy next to me who's from Florida. And he's in IT. And he's going to see his wife in Kansas City. And you know, he's got a country accent. I'm talking to him. We're having this great conversation. And I look up there and I was like, something's not right up there. I don't know what's going on, but Becky's got her arm around her and this lady's got, you know, a coat around her head. I just know something's off. So I didn't know what it was. I thought maybe she's afraid of flying or something like that. Well, a guy comes and sits down next to Becky and he kind of assesses the situation. He's like, do you guys want me to move? There's another seat. So he gets out of the way real quick. So now we're there. Guys, we sat on that runway for an hour. This lady is flying because her sister committed suicide last night. The funeral was tomorrow morning in Kansas City. She's concerned she's not going to be able to make it. It's 7 o'clock now. They're telling us that the flight crews exceeded their flight time, and they got to get a new crew. We got a deplane, and they got to get a new crew in there and all of that. So this lady is freaking out. And the husband, I mean, I just remember this guy's face. Becky and I laugh about it because he would come in all calm, like, are you doing good, honey? You know, all that. And she would start crying. And then instantly, I mean, he knows the girl, you know, he knows the girl too, is related to her. He just starts melting and he starts crying. They got these two little boys and, you know, I'm sure that they don't really understand what's going on, but they're on a plane and they're, you know, doing their thing. And so Becky took care of him on the plane, so we get off the plane, and I was annoyed because everybody looked at them and judged them. That was the initial reaction, and I just hate that. We don't know what's going on with people's lives, and so I'm trying to, like, I see people giving them looks and people saying, and see a lady texting her husband, you know, there's a lady on this plane crying, I don't, you know, all this stuff, and I'm just like, you just don't understand what's going on. But that's not my battle to fight, so I'm trying to stay focused. I'm tired from travel, all that, but we get off the plane, we get back at the gate, and I kid you not, this lady falls down in the middle of the gate and starts wailing. She's laying on the ground wailing, right there where passengers are coming out. And so her whole family kind of pulls to the side, and I'm just instantly like, you know, this is just not good. You know, I don't know what to do. I do not, honestly, I don't want to do anything. I want to go sit and go eat and do something else. I don't want to be here right now, but this is not a good situation. And so, I told, like, Becky had already been taking good care of them. Kind of tell them, let's go find them some seats, you know. So we go and find, kind of clear out some space for them. I mean, this lady, she's sobbing, all sorts of stuff, yelling. She's, I'm so angry right now, you know, that kind of stuff. And so what do you do? I'm thinking, like, do the airlines, do they have chaplains? Do they have something? I mean, it was just too much for me at that point. I, you know, probably right now it wouldn't have been as dramatic, but in that moment it was just too much. And this lady, I don't know what she's going, I can't even imagine that. It's just, I have no radar or grid. I just don't understand. But Becky's there just comforting her, arm around her. I'm over there playing with these kids some games. The dad goes and gets pizza. I'm so grateful. Becky was wearing this ORU hoodie that says head chaplain on it. And she had said, if there's anything we can do to help, you know, we will. And he said, you know, are you a chaplain? He's like, I think that would be good right now. You know, why was she wearing that jacket? Why was Becky a chaplain at ORU? I don't know, but God knows. And it worked in that moment. It opened the door to those people. Come to find out, they're Jewish. They don't necessarily believe in what we believe in. I don't know what they think happens after death. I definitely don't know what they think if someone commits suicide. I don't know what they're going through. They're upset. They're trying to deal with the whole situation. We comfort them, take care of the best we can. We finally, praise God, another plane came in, and I'm glad, not for our sakes, but for their sakes, that a plane showed up, and the flight crew showed up, and we get back on that plane, and I think that lady was so exhausted from everything, she just passed out, and it was just peace the rest of the way. And she told Becky, I know that you were supposed to be here today. I know that you were supposed to sit by me. I know, you know. She believed that. I don't know why she believed that or thought that, but she was saying just you guys being here and comforting us and all that, and the husband is so grateful, so thankful. But we got off that plane. I got my bags. I went to Kansas City, and I went to sleep that night. We looked up the obituary, found the girl online, the sister it was. It was the funeral the next morning, all this stuff. I pray for those people. I don't remember their names. I can tell you their faces, but God has us there at that moment. And I don't care how tired we are. I don't care how hungry. I don't care how much my flesh is up, acting up. I was supposed to be there at that moment. Becky was supposed to sit in that seat next to that lady at that day, at that time. And that plane, whether it was supposed to get delayed or not, I don't know. But it did, and it opened up the door for them to experience. This girl from ORU cares about us and helping us and would do anything she could right now. It opens the door to God. And I just want you to know, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, God is going to put people across your path. Just be bold. Don't shy away from those opportunities. Embrace them. Step into them. I'm glad it's me sitting here on the back row. I'm glad I'm in this. The situation may not be favorable to me, but I hope it's favorable to them, and I hope that they can be reached and touched by God. That's the mindset we got to have, guys. We got to change how we think. We do. Our lives are not for ourselves. We've laid down our lives, and they're for God. And whatever He asks us to do, I know what's on His heart. It says His heart beats, and what does it beat for? It beats for people. And that's what He cares about. And wherever He places you, wherever He puts you, take advantage of that moment. Do not shy away. Do not back down. Do not ask why me. Do not get into your flesh. Just embrace it and go with it. And even if it's a hug in that moment, even if it's we can take care of your kids, I'm not prepared for this situation, but I'll do whatever I can to help. That opens the door for people to experience God. And that is the ultimate thing, is that everyone would know and experience Him. That's the greatest thing, is people knowing Him, having a relationship with Christ. And however that happens, wherever you are, just go for it. Just do it. Just go for it and take advantage. I can tell you, it makes life so much better. I'm happy that we were there. It was in the moment, I'm not, but I'm looking back, I'm like, thank God we were there. I'm glad somebody was there. I'm glad somebody could help, you know. I'm glad that we were there for them, could help them in that situation. And so I'm sorry, I went 10 minutes long. I apologize. I'm just going to pray for us, but just whatever we have going on in our lives, however that hits you tonight. And honestly, this stuff sounds a lot like Dan Moeller, so you're going to probably hear it a lot again this weekend. But I just pray for you that whatever God has you doing, the people He has you around, I pray that you would have eyes and a heart to see them and to know them, to reach out to them. And Father, I just thank you right now that the people in this room would be lights and salt in the earth. I pray that wherever we go, whatever we do, we'd bring your hope and your love, your passion, your peace, that people would know that you're God and they would experience you. I pray that our lives would matter, that we would not look down on our situations, but we would see the people you have in our everyday lives who need to know you. And Father, I just thank you for the places that you're leading us, that you're leading us in this room to places we've never been, to people who've never heard, to uncomfortable situations, Father, so that people might know you. And I pray that, Father, I know that that's why your heart beats. I pray that that would be tonight why our heart beats, what we wake up for, what we care about. And Father, that in everything we do, we would do it to honor you, to serve you, to love you, to know you, that more people would come to know you. And I just thank you for everything that's going to take place this weekend. I thank you, Father, that you have specific people who are supposed to walk through these doors and hear Dan Moeller. I thank you that he's going to speak specific things into people's lives who need answers. And I thank you, Lord, that we are going to be touched and changed and transformed forever by what happens this weekend. I thank you for the privilege to share tonight. And I just, wherever we go, Father, wherever you're sending us, Father, that we would do it with all of our hearts. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.